Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this evening's message on Monday, Thursday is from our epistle reading from 1 Corinthians 10. Even though I was somewhat good at it, I never really liked math in school. Now, there are a number of reasons why I didn't like math. And the first reason is math got progressively more complicated. Did you know that? Yeah, it's one thing to memorize your multiplication facts. It's another thing to head deep into the waters of algebra and trigonometry. And I didn't even do calculus. I was that scared. And as I have watched my kids dive headfirst into math, I know just what I wasn't missing there. I mean, a sine for me is something on the wall. A cosine is something on a document. And a tangent is something that I'm going on right now. But that's not the only reason. There was another reason. I was like, I have no idea how this applies to my life. I remember it back in high school in sophomore year of Algebra 2. We were going across this thing called matrices, and I literally threw up my hands and exclaimed to my teacher, I said, "What does this actually have to do with my life?" Thank God the teacher still gave me a good grade. But probably the number one reason why I'm not particularly fond of math is because it's so simple. It's clear. You know, there's no opinions as to how math actually works. You're not like bending the facts or twisting the truth when you're doing a math equation. It is straightforward. It is clear as day. You've heard the expression, do the math. That's when you look at the facts of a situation and you come to a conclusion, even if that answer is painfully clear. Okay, so why is Pastor Ben talking about math? Well, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, I see many Christians doing the math. But when they are actually partaking of the Lord's Supper, the outcomes don't really add up. And here's what I'm talking about here. I have been a pastor since 2007, and in every single congregation that I've served, I've actually had members of the church come up to me and confess, "You know, Pastor, I really only like coming to worship when the Lord's Supper is offered. Never mind the sermon, never mind the hymns or the wonderful music, never mind even the fellowship that happens before and after. No, I want to come when the Lord's Supper is offered." And another thing I've seen, go ahead and pick it up. If you haven't, go ahead and pick up your little package of elements. You've got the little piece of wafer there, and then you flip it over, you got a little cup of wine. You know, it's nice and packaged in its own little set. And that's what I've started to notice about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper has become highly individualized. As a ministry colleague put it recently, he said, "It's like we're sitting in a cafeteria. We are surrounded by people, but we're all just eating our own meal." Now, don't get me wrong, we're still receiving forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation. We are still participating and partaking of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. It's still there. But when you do the math this way, body, plus blood equals my own personal forgiveness and salvation. And that's what it is. Okay. Well, this is most certainly true, yes. There is an unintended outcome in doing the math this way. I mean, we can partake of the Lord's Supper. And yet, we may not even consider our fellow Christians around us. We may partake of the Lord's Supper, but we may look at our fellow Christians the same exact way as we did before we took the body and the blood. Yes, we may take the Lord's Supper, but then we still allow sin, lack of love, pride, ambition, gossip, slander, you name it, to divide us, to break us down, and to destroy the body of Christ. Do the math. Today is Maundy Thursday, and as we're going to hear in the words a little later on, it's the night that Jesus was betrayed. But it was also the night that before he was betrayed, before he was handed over into the hands of sinful men, he instituted the Lord's Supper. But what is so sad about this is that in the midst of him instituting this wonderful, wonderful meal, his own disciples were doing their own math. There was Judas over there who's trying to add up, how many different ways could I spend these 30 pieces of silver? And then there's Peter, and he's multiplying. He's multiplying just how big his chest could be puffed up as he boasts before the Lord, I'll never fall away. No way, Lord. I will even go to death for you. And the rest of the disciples, oh, might as well be doing matrices because they're just bickering with one another. Who's the greatest? They're divided. They're breaking down and they're about to self-destruct. But thank God, literally, that Jesus is in the midst preparing his own supper for them. He breaks some bread. He gives it to his disciples. He says, take and eat. This is my body. And then he takes a cup and he blesses it and gives it to them. And he says, go ahead, take and drink. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. You see, what Jesus is declaring that very night, that the same body that would be broken, that would be broken by scourges, would be broken by fists, and would be broken by nails and crucifixion. And the same blood that would be shed and pouring from his wounds, pouring from his scalp, all over the place, all for them. This would be the same body and the same blood in the bread and wine. Body plus blood equals salvation. But that's not all Jesus is saying here. With these words that he's speaking, he actually says, this is for you. This is for the many. This is for you, plural, for you all, for all of you. Whatever sinful divisions the disciples had, Jesus was uniting them under the forgiveness of sin, giving them all full and free forgiveness through his body and blood. It was like Jesus was telling them, do the math. Body plus blood equals body. It's the same math that Paul uses in our text this evening. He writes, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ?" You know, Paul here is talking about the real presence. He's talking about Jesus' real body, his real blood that had been crucified, had died, and had risen. It was really present in the bread and the wine. And we get to partake of that. We actually get to eat that body, drink that blood for the forgiveness of our sins. There's the math, body plus blood. But then he completes the equation. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. You see, the Lord's Supper unites all of us. We are not a bunch of isolated individuals, each eating our own meal. We are one body in Christ, partaking of one body in one bread and drinking one blood through one cup, receiving one forgiveness of all of our sins. And look at the outcomes of this math. One of my favorite stories that I love to tell is by author Craig Parton in his book, The Defense Never Rests. And in this book, he talks about his journey from American evangelicalism to Lutheranism. And one of his most cherished things about the Lutheran faith is the Lord's Supper. And it's not just that he believes now in the real presence of the body and blood in the bread and wine. No, it's what this meal does to his own family. Because at the time he became Lutheran and his whole family did, things were not exactly good in his household. He had a teenage daughter and she was acting like a teenage daughter. And mom and daughter were jawing at each other, sometimes breaking out into full-on arguments with slammed doors. He said he tried to get a puppy and that didn't exactly work. But then he goes on to say, but whatever snipes we made at each other, whatever sins we committed against each other, whatever divisions we had, when we came before the Lord's table, all of us were united in the body, in the blood, and in the forgiveness Jesus gives. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord's Supper is where we flee to when there is divisions among us, when we sin against one another, when we are divided by pride, by ambition, by gossip, by slander, by the things that we think, the things that we say, the things that we do that just hurt, break us down, and threaten to destroy us. Jesus invites us to his own table, gives us his own body, his own blood in the bread and wine, and says, take it, eat it, drink it for the forgiveness of all of your sin, so that you may be my body, the body of Christ here on earth. And therefore, when you see and interact with the many members of the body in Christ, you and I, we get to do the math. We get to actually see the body of Christ, the one body of Christ in front of us. We get to see the presence of Jesus in every single one of us because we get to see the same forgiveness that all of us have received through his supper. So yeah, I may not like math that much. But I tell you what, I absolutely love the math of the Lord's Supper. And I pray you do too. Body plus blood equals body. Simple, clear, straightforward. And that's only because it is full of the love and the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus for all of us. Amen.